Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We continue with our study on the book of Genesis. Remember the question I asked you, why the story of Melchizedek was introduced after Abraham had gained victory, right? I think we have mentioned one of the points. As far as I'm concerned, I think this appearing or appearance of Melchizedek has a lot to do with chapter 15 as well. It has a lot to do with chapter 15. Because in chapter 15, especially the... In chapter 15, it talks about how God's people, chosen people, would suffer for how many years? 400 years. Yeah? 400 years. And eventually, God actually delivered them from the clutches of Pharaoh, as we can see in Exodus. I think this chapter... the example cited in chapter 15 goes beyond just that. Right? Now, we shall look at it, yeah? Okay. Now, in chapter 15, the Lord spoke to Abraham. It seems this time it's not directly, it's in a vision. Okay? It's in a vision. We can see this in verse 1. Right? And said to Abraham, "Do not be afraid, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Right? We know that at that point in time, Abraham had not got a child yet. He practically had nothing apart from the physical wealth that he had obtained. Now it seems that the promise of God, is like beyond reach, as far as Abraham was concerned. But God said to him, "I'm your shield. I'm your protections and your exceedingly great reward," meaning in God, then they shall reap, the blessing that God would give to them. Okay, now, so from verse 2 onwards, Abraham begins to question the Lord God. Now, I want you to look at verse 2. "But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Right. Now, verse 3, Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring, indeed one born in my house is my heir." Okay. Now, it's like saying to God, why not make this guy here a slave, who was born in my house, to be... my offspring, okay? Now, but the Lord said, no. Okay? And your descendant or your offspring, your heir should come from your own body. Okay? Now, that is mentioned in verse 4. So after saying that to Abraham, he took Abraham outside and said, "Look at the star, look at the sun, or whatever, and if you can number them, then, so shall your descendant be." Now, you find that here, the Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Now, you know that this, this concept of justification by faith actually is borrowed from Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, and this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the key verses if you want to understand what Paul is talking about in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and this idea is also mentioned by James. Okay. Now, so I want you to remember this verse. Remember this verse. Right. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Your assignment is for tonight, yeah? You want an assignment? All of them are sick. Not only physically, mentally sick. I'm not sorry. I've got enough to do. Okay. I tell what, if you want to understand this this teaching here, then you need to read up Romans chapter 4. Right, the whole chapter, and also Galatians chapter 3, and obviously also James chapter, I think it's chapter 2, right? Because I think these chapters that talk about righteousness through faith, right? Now, because I think all these chapters actually define what believing in Jesus means. Now, you find that believing in Jesus is not just about the concept of my ideas, but it's about being obedient to the will of God. That is faith, isn't it? It's hard to explain anyway. You have to read through it first. Is that okay? Now, I tell what, because this is this concept, this teaching ties in many aspects of Abraham's life, including circumcision, including his offering of his son. Tie in here. So it's a huge teaching. And never mind, I'll come back anyway. Okay, just bear that in mind. In chapter 15, verse 6, he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Right? Now, you look at verse 7, yeah? Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now, what does it mean here? What does it mean? Can I ask you a question? Was Abraham saved by God? Was he saved by God? I don't know how to piece the ideas together. It's a rough idea, okay? Now, because the story of Abraham, or the faith of Abraham, is tied into our belief in Jesus as well. Okay? The Bible says when we are baptized into Christ, isn't it? And therefore we are descendants of Abraham. So my question is, was Abraham saved? In the first place, was he saved? If he was saved, then how was he saved? You understand the question? Yeah? Was he saved? How was he saved? By faith. How?
The Bible tells.
Okay.
By faith, we become righteous.
Now, you know, we say faith is not just an idea. Yeah. Faith, if I can put it this way, is the way of life for all Christians. Right. Now, how was he saved? Okay, look at verse 7 again. I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur. Okay, now if you look at Ur or Mesopotamia, we know that there was a place of idolatry. Yeah, according to Joshua. Yeah. Now, in that sense, he was redeemed. Okay. Now, I want to look at where is it? Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah, let me see if I can find it. Okay, chapter 29. Now, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who what? Redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Right? Shall not be ashamed, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, so, according to Isaiah, what? Abraham was first redeemed by God. Okay? And, you know, right? It's like, Abraham was set free from you know, the clutches of idolatry, if I can put it this way, right? Now, so that's why you find that he had faith in God, according to chapter 15, verse 6. But God reminded him, right, how he brought him out of is a place of idolatry. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? He was redeemed. Are you following me? So today, likewise, when we say we are baptized into Christ, we become the descendant of Abraham because we are also likewise redeemed. You understand what I'm saying? If Abraham was not redeemed, then how can we become his descendant? Does it make sense? Or I have not explained myself very clearly. Is that okay? Alright, now we move on. Are you with me, or I just what I used to do, just pick out teaching and then we finish. Talk about it. Bye bye. Because the story of Abraham is like how can I put it? It's concerned with so many aspects of our Christian life. Yeah, practically, every time when we talk about our faith in Jesus, Abraham, you know, is always stated when you look at like Galatians and Romans, even Hebrews. You understand what I'm saying? It's so important. Right? Now, okay, this is a rough idea. Now, come back to chapter 15. Yeah. Now, you find that the redemption here is not just on Abraham. That's why if you look at this, the later part of chapter 15, it talks about what? How God's chosen people would be saved 400 years later down the line. Okay, can you see now? Right? Is it clear? Hello? Alright, now. I want to look at chapter 15 first, verse 8. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he bought all this and cut into halves. Alright. Now, to be honest, I cannot find any equivalent in the law of Moses. Cut half. Okay. Now, the only example that I could think of is the one given in Jeremiah. Alright. Now, we can turn to Jeremiah first. chapter 34, yeah? Jeremiah chapter 34. Why don't you read verse 16 onwards? Read it slowly. Chapter 34, verse 16. Then you turn around and profane my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slave, whom he has set at liberty at their pleasure, and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slave. That is a violation against the law of Moses. Okay, now verse 17. Therefore thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother and everyone to his neighbor. I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, to famine, and I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdom of the earth. Now verse 18. I'll give the man who have transgressed my covenant, right? Who have not performed the word of the covenant which they made before me when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts of it. The princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of the calf. Now, verse 20. I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hands of those who seek their life. Their dead body shall be for meat for the birds of the air, of the heavens, and the beasts of the earth. Now, you know the idea here, when animals cut into parts, right? And here it says, you know, the prince or whoever will pass through. Meaning, according to Jeremiah, that these people would be given to the hands of their enemies. Right? Given to the hands of their enemies. And not only that, the first part, yeah, of this example is that the birds of the air would come on to eat their meats. Okay? Now, when you look at the example given in Genesis, they cut the animals into what? Two parts? And then what? Who passed through it? Who passed through it? Now we come back. Chapter 15, yeah? Who passed through it? Did anyone pass through it? Down. Now, if you look at verse 16, where is it? Verse 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. Okay? Who passed through? What is a burning oven represent? What is this? Okay, now bear that in mind for the time being, yeah? Now what happened when the pieces were exposed, yeah, in the open? Now if you look at verse 11, yeah? Verse 11. And while the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Right? Meaning, they are what? Their flesh, was not eaten up. Okay? Yeah. It's how we can look at it in this way. Look, using Jeremiah to explain it. If you look at the chosen race of God, yeah? Jacob. Chosen race of Jacob. Yeah? Because Jacob went into Egypt. Yeah? And descendant multiplied very quickly. Right? And so they were made a slave in Egypt. Yeah? Right? Now, you find that actually they could not set themselves free. No way. No way. Right? No way. It's like they were destined to be slaves throughout generation. Now who saved them? Right? It's by the mighty power of God. They were set free. Huh? So that's why when the birds came to eat them, like
Abraham drove them away. So they were not, they were not dead forever, put it this way. Or they were not slave forever. They were set free. Now, I think we need to look beyond that. Yeah? Now, if you look at the church that God established, because Abraham is always linked to the church of God. Yeah? If you look at us today, actually we were in sin, we are hopeless. Okay, by right, we are dead beyond help, beyond restoration, or beyond resurrection, if I can put it that way. Yeah? Now, you find that Christ has come. Okay? That's why I said, if I can say the smoking what? The smoking oven and the other thing, you know?
A burning torch, right?
Now, it's like it has taken our place instead of what? Because according to Jeremiah, the prince, those who pass through, you know, the pieces, they would be given to what? To their enemies, and worse still, their what? Their flesh would be eaten up by the birds of the air. You get what I'm saying? Now here you can see that the birds were driven away, and then the smoking oven and what? The burning torch passed through, like, you know, someone has taken our place. You get what I'm saying? That's the idea, right? That we can get a, what? Maybe it's not exactly clear, but that's the idea when we talk about redemption. Okay, now coming back, yeah? This is where chapter 14, the last part, is important. Because we talk about what? Melchizedek. Yeah? Now, Melchizedek is a priest. He's a priest, isn't it? He's a priest forever. Now, who is he, by the way? According to Hebrew, he is Jesus. Okay? Does it make sense to you? Now, so it's like chapter 14, the introduction of Melchizedek is quite abrupt in a way. Actually, to me, it's linked to chapter 15 when you talk about redemption. Right?
Is that okay? Do you want me to repeat? Yeah. I'm not very clear myself. Yes. No problem. I explain. Yes, I'm very good at repeating. I'm used to it. Serious. So, because in Africa, I repeat 10 times sometimes. So I'm happy. This is how I get to learn about the Word of God, by repeating myself. I'm serious. Sisini, give me a chance to learn. Okay. When you look at what God has instructed Abraham to do, okay, God said, bring out animals and cut them into half. You know so? Yeah? Now, by what I said, I cannot find an equivalent in the law of Moses. I can't. Now, the closest example that is given is in what? Jeremiah chapter 34. Is it also? Chapter 34. Is it also? Hello? Okay. Now, in that example, you find that the princes or the people were made to pass through the pieces. And what does it mean? And Jeremiah said, again, and Jeremiah said, for those who pass through the pieces shall be given to what? The enemies. Yeah? Meaning they will be killed, And on top of that, the birds of the air would eat up their flesh. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, when you look at the example, Abraham, right, when the birds came, what happened? The birds of the air, Abraham drove them away. Okay? Now, you find that the torch and the other one is oven pass through the pieces. It's like saying that, you know, this torch here has taken the place of those who were to be given to their enemies. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, when you look at this in terms of redemption, that's why I ask you a very, very simple question. Was Abraham redeemed? He was. Yeah? Chapter 15, verse 6 talks about his faith. 15, verse 7 talks about how God redeemed him. And this is backed up by Isaiah chapter 29, can't remember, 22. Is it? Yeah? 22. I guess right. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So when you put all these verses together, you can see the real intention of God asking Abraham. Yeah? Abraham, to do an act which is not very clear. You get what I'm saying? He's talking about redemption, basically. Because he's going to save his people from the clutches of Pharaoh. Is that okay? Okay. Now, when we talk about redemption, this is how I look at it, okay? Okay. Okay, now, look at redemption. Chapter 14, Abraham save who? Save Lot, yeah? Is it? Okay, now, after that, the introduction of Melchizedek. Can't spell, okay? So, and this refers to Jesus, yeah? Now, and when you come to chapter 15, Abraham was saved by God. 15:7 and Isaiah 2:9-2. Right? Then it talks about what? God's people were saved from Egypt. Now, we can obviously link this to God save his people in the church age. Right. So actually the entire chapter, the two chapters are talking about deliverance, saving, blah blah blah. Okay? Right. Yes.
And you know verse 10, how we see they cut the animals down the middle. Mm-hmm. How come they didn't cut the birds into two?
Too small, I guess.
Okay.
Well, what can I say? Okay. All right. Now we come back. Now let's look at chapter 15, verse 13. This is what the Lord said to him. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendant will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. Also the nation whom they serve I will judge, afterward they shall come out with great possession. deliverance. Yeah. So, and God said to Abraham, yeah, that, you know, you will go in peace and you shall be buried at a good old age. Right? It's like saying to him that this thing will happen, but you will not see it. Right? Now, so, verse 18 onward, he's talk about the extent of the land of Canaan, right? And it's like being surrounded by two rivers, river of Egypt and the river Euphrates. It's like they form the border, you know, of the country, the land of Canaan. Okay. Right, so these are some ideas that we can gather from chapter 15. Right. Oh, any questions before we move on to chapter 16? Right, no? Then we move on. Now, again, you see a conflict in the family. So when man try to use his own, you know, his own means to achieve the will of God. Okay. Now, I want to look at chapter 16, verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. You know, in those days, it seems that I can't understand the... You know, if you are a married woman, then you will not share your husband with another person. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? Will you share? Of course you won't. But it's... Okay. You know, the kind of thing. It's like... Their moral standard is not that clear in those days, it seems. Huh? It's not that clear. You know, that's why they could agree, like Abraham, you know, said to Sarah, okay, when you go to this place, just tell people that I'm your brother, or you are my sister, that kind of thing, right? It's like their moral concept is not has not been clearly developed yet, it seems to me, that way, right? Okay, now you find that, you know, when Lot was being pressed hard by the people in Sodom, yeah, because the angels were inside, isn't it? What did he say to the angels? I've got two daughters. You know, that kind of thing, right? The moral concept has not been fully developed, it seems that way. Okay, now never mind. We'll come back. Chapter 16. So obviously, by the suggestion of Sarai, you know, Abraham, agree with what the wife said. Because they, at that point in time, they had already dwelt in the land of Canaan for 10 years. It's like the promise of God was still unfulfilled in a way. Right? Now, so when she got pregnant, she conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Right? And that caused a lot of confusion and chaos in the family. So Abraham, Sarai said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your breast. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So, Abraham agreed to Sarah and said to her, you know, do what you want to do to the woman and the child. Now, so obviously both of them were cast out. Now, so she cried, you know, Hagar, and the child cried. And then what happened? And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress, submit yourself under her hand." Okay, I think there are a few teachings here that we can learn from. You know, when the will of God is superimposed by the will of man, then problem arises. That is the immediate teaching that we can get. We know the will of God, and God has said to us before that we know what to do. If we do not wait for the time of God, we try to act according to what we deem best, and problems arise. Right? Now, so as far as Christians are concerned, we need to exercise patience and enduring in waiting for what, the realization of God's promises. Right? We cannot rush into it. We cannot quicken the promise of God. You can't do that. Okay? Now, so now the other story is the other lessons that we can learn. You know, if we look at this story from the viewpoint of Hagar, you know, if you have been changed in terms of your position, let's say you are very poor before, and now for some reason you become very rich. Okay, that change of so-called status should not make you to despise others, right? And should not cause you to look down on others. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you have, you know, how much talent you have received from God, we should always keep ourselves in a state of humility. That's the thing. Right? Now, it also goes to show that, you know, when our position changes, you know, our mindset also changes at the same time. But we know that that is not very good for us. Right? Now, so, and because of that, she was driven out of the house. Okay? Now, I want to look at verse 13, okay? Now, verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." Right? And to Hagar, the name of the Lord is called what? "You are the God who sees." But is that the name of God? Is that the name of God? Is that the name of God? No. Now, if you have got the NKJV, if I'm correct, is this one? Elroy. You are the God who sees. Is it not? Am I correct? Okay. Now, meaning, the point I'm trying to make is this. In the Old Testament, you find that the name of God was not revealed. Right? Now, man only got to know God, know about God through their encounter with Him. And by the encounter they had with God, it's like they gave God a certain name. Right? But we know that this is not the name of God. Are you with me? Right? Okay. Now, move on. Look at verse 14, yeah? Therefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Observe it, it's between Kadesh and Beret. Now what does it mean? You look at verse 14, the well of the one who lives and sees me. Okay? Now, so it's like because of that experience that Hagar had, so she came to know that one. God is the one who sees and who understands. Right. Now, I believe every event that happened in the life of Abraham is intended with a reason. Okay, so when we come to our summary, then we'll talk a bit more about it. Now, I want to first bear in mind now. Now, how many women actually closely connected to the life of Abraham? How many women? How many women? Okay. How many? Two only?
Three.
Three? Two? You change your mind. Go back and forth. Huh? Three. Who are there? Hagar? Sarah?
Keturah.
No more? But I thought the Bible says he also married many concubines later on after the wedding. Yeah, you know? Okay. Now,
think about all these rulers for the time being. So when we talk about it, it will be easier to understand. Now, a little lump. Okay? Think about this woman in relation to the descendant of Abraham. Hagar? Sarah? Keturah? And concubine. So he has many concubinary wife. When you read to chapter 25. Okay? Now, I list all these women down because Galatians actually keep an account of this. You understand what I'm saying? So you can think about this woman in the light of what Galatians said.
Okay? It's okay. Are you kidding me? Or is it too much to take in? Too far-fetched? You know? Flying around? Repeat.
Okay. Now, you know, remember in chapter 15? Yeah? What did Abraham say to God? Since I don't have a descendant, I'm going to take this one. Eliezer. Eliezer. Yeah? To be my descendant. God said, no. But we don't know the mother of Eliezer. Okay? Now, what about Hagar? Hagar, she was an Egyptian. Yeah. And Sarah, the lawful wife. And this one is that after the death of Sarah, then he married to Keturah. Right. Now, here we know that only one son. Many this guy, what? How many sons? Two. What? This one? Keturah, how many?
Eight.
Are you sure?
Six.
Eight?
Six.
Six.
Okay. Plus, I want you to think about this, yeah? Think about all this in relation to what Galatians has said. Is that okay?
Hello? 你们听得懂吗? 懂吗? 啊, 懂就好了吗?
Spring silence. Amen.
You want lemon? No. Just one.